Welcome to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God. Welcome to episode, I'm not sure what number we are on.
Number 8.
Are you sure it's number 8?
No, I might need number 9.
I think it's number 9. But I don't know. Maybe it's number 8.
It's the 5th of February. 7th of February, though.
5th? 6th? 7th?
It's 7. It's Friday.
Friday the 7th?
It's Friday
the
7th.
Yes, because next Friday is Valentine's Day.
For everybody listening, for you mans out there, next Friday is the Valentine's Day. You have a whole week to get a card and some stuff.
And we're going to be at the ballpark.
We will. Not even in town.
No, we're going to go watch our kiddo play some softball.
I got you some clay.
Some red clay.
I got you some red clay.
Yes, yes.
Think of the movie Ghost, just at a ballpark.
You're so crazy. So crazy. Well, we come, it's been, I don't know, when did we...
Earlier this week, really. It's a pretty good wee-wee, yeah, because I think we cast it on Monday. For this particular series, and it was coming off of a really strong weekend. It was our opening weekend of freedom for this semester. Both of us are teaching a course in freedom for this semester, and as it would turn out, it was a powerful just group and gathering and across the board. It was, I mean, you and I got to come home from both of our groups and not share specifics, but share feelings about kind of where we felt,
right.
You know, in the spirit moving. And that was really awesome to know that the same kind of sparks and fires on a day one in your class and facilitating was the same thing happened in mine. And it just means that God has really got some stuff stirring across all of the age groups, across
Absolutely.
All of the people. And so that was a real good way to kind of end the week or begin it, I guess. However you see Sunday is the end or the beginning. An amazing sermon on Sunday that had a lot of just practical application of just, you know, where we can be. So an amazing part in that. So yeah, just Monday we walked into it and I think it was very well and healthy for us to kind of go through that after being away from it for a little bit. So I'm glad that we kind of got another one in this week and full transparency. It's just, this is kind of something that was laid on our heart outside of our normal time frame. And what we're trying to do is as things come across for us, we're trying to really just share with you guys where we're at and the things that come across in the real life. And this week's been a week. This week's been a week. So
this week it's been a huge roller coaster of a week.
Monday was, like I said, we did get our podcast, but we had some.
Monday was great though. Monday was not. I think Monday was a pretty well day. It was on into Tuesday when things just kind of. I feel like after the weekend, you and I had some great conversations. Saturday night, we had some great revelations with. The sermon and how it was, you know, how it reached us both and how just the Holy Spirit was speaking to us and some great prayer time and great small groups. Going into Monday, I feel like we were kind of on a spiritual high, for lack of better words.
We were.
Things were good. Things were flowing. You could just see God working in a multitude of different ways. And then Tuesday came and what quickly was a spiritual high became some really heavy spiritual heaviness, for lack of better words. We had some situations that Tuesday started out very, very tragic, some very tragic family, news, and the day just rolled into more tragic news with some dear, dear friends of ours. And it became a spiral for the week. Like it was just, it felt like so many people close to us were breaking, like hearts were breaking and marriages breaking and losing loved ones unexpectedly, and so much happening in one day that it was a lot. And then the week just continued to kind of roll from there.
It did. Like you said, the best way to describe it was kind of a roller coaster. And I think one of the hard spots that we ended on last night was just having some difficulty in our own relationship with our oldest kiddo, and just working through some things, or I guess the way that it ended, I can't really say that we worked through much, but it led Chrissy and I down the path of having some very good communication with each other and really examining what was happening in a perspective of how God sees it, and maybe how his word lays out how we take care of things in this world when they don't go as planned, or when they are in a way that we can't really understand. And the biggest thing that was kind of the overarching theme that seems like it's such a heavy hitter and seems to get so many people, us included, is the whole concept of unforgiveness, how hard that is, whether you're on the end of being unforgiving or you're on the end of unforgiven by somebody. And then the follow-on of guilt and shame that seems to set in when maybe you are reminded of things that have happened in the past, or a person that you were, and where you are now. You know, Satan comes in and he wants nothing more than to use against you the things in which you have done. He wants to bring you back to the places that he knows he can rope your mind into feeling bad. And the truth of the matter is, you know, as we dissect this, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot through this particular episode, is that's not the life God has for us to live. He doesn't ask us to carry guilt and shame. He doesn't ask us to walk around in the muck and the mire of all the things that we did do.
Right.
All that's been done and gone and forgiven. And if we are truly seeking him, we find the ways through his word, his example, and through his spirit to make transformational changes in our life, right, to do better as we move forward. And we you know, you may find a place where you regress and repeat, and that's not the end of the world there. You find forgiveness and grace. It was already there anyway. But more specifically, you know, when you do find those footholds that you're making, you know, successful strides forward, and God is really dragging you out of some of that, it really just ticks him off, Satan. And I think he wants nothing more than to put that hook in and say, yeah, hey, remember what you did?
Right.
Do you really feel good enough? Are you really sure you want to take that stride of you being at peace with that, considering what you did? Do you not remember?
Right.
You know,
and I think it's fair to say, you know, you and I have talked a lot about this over the last not quite 24 hours, but kind of 24 hours. This week has again just brought a lot of different emotions. It's brought a lot of growth. I really think there's been a lot of growth in the last couple weeks, recognizing some things in myself. You know, last episode, I was very raw and real about how last week I spent a lot of time in a very depressive state. I was high functioning in the fact that I was getting up and doing the morning routine and going to the gym and feeling like I was functioning. But in my own time, in my private time, I found myself in a very depressive state, which was affecting my mind and affecting how I was viewing myself. Now, going into this week and then having that weekend of breakthrough and what I felt like was opening up and us talking about things, what I've learned in this talking about things is that I need to talk about things. I need to just get the emotion, get the thoughts out of my head so I can start to process them. So as we've been processing, And praying over this and how we would share and what we would share, I think it's fair to state that this particular situation is on the backside of a relational division with our oldest daughter, and love her to pieces, love her, love her, love her. But the truth is, as we have shared before, her raising and her growing up, it was much different than what our girls are currently getting. The parents that our younger two have now are not the parents that our oldest had for the majority of her life. And while if I could go back and have a relationship with Jesus well before the last few years, I would, because I know it would have greatly contributed to a different raising for our oldest daughter. But the truth is that it didn't happen that way. And my testimony specifically is very much, I'm very raw and very transparent in that I made a lot of bad choices as a parent, and I made a lot of bad choices in disciplining from a place of anger versus disciplining from a place of love and spiritual foundation. But I did what I knew to be the best at that time. So it was never intentional in the sense, but looking back, I did make a lot of mistakes.
Well, hindsight, I mean, it's not just a catchphrase. It really is 2020. When you look back, you can always see much clearer the way things could have been or maybe should have been when you're looking backwards. But if we examine it through the property of just reality, there is no mechanism that we can harness unless you've got a DeLorean in the garage that allows us to go backwards. We can't go back and undo what was done. All we can do is seek grace, seek forgiveness from our Father first, and then go to those people that maybe we did do something wrong to, seek forgiveness from them as well, and try to regrow the trust and the bonds and the relationship. Right. But it doesn't matter how long we choose to dwell or how long they choose to dwell at what was, it still does not in any way, shape, or form have any bearing on changing it.
Right.
It can't ever be undone. And Satan is so good at replaying the memories for the accusers and the accused of the things that went wrong.
Right.
Those seem to be the ones that get the longest replay and the most rapid flashback. And it's not the fun things that get remembered the most. It's not the times you got it right. Those take a sidestep. And
from the side of the uniqueness here is that I'm very open about my part in the bad things that I did. And as the abuser, as the one who has gone to God for forgiveness, who has repented, who has asked for forgiveness, all of that is important. But I feel like there's that last piece that doesn't get as much emphasis, and that's turning from those ways.
That's right. Transformation.
It's not just, yes, it's important to recognize and admit and ask for forgiveness and apologize, but turning from those ways is what's so important. So when I look at my walk over the last several years of that, I feel like I've been in a very committed and intentional relationship with God, I see how much I've changed, and I'm not the person that I was in those years of poor choices and depression and abuse and absent. That's not the person that I am today. So I've turned from those ways, and in restoring relationships, coming together and reconciliation requires two people. I can want to reconcile a relationship all day long, but if the other person isn't at a place of forgiving and repenting of their own part and their own peace, then reconciliation isn't possible in moments where both parties aren't on the same page. And I think that's where we're at in this season with our oldest daughter, in that we're going through these roller coasters of, we are on this side of recognizing we've gone through family counseling, we've gone through multiple different steps of acknowledgement and apologies, and okay, we made bad choices. I can't go back and fix it. So how do we move forward now? And that's where we're held up. We're held up at only one side has reached that point of turning from their ways to move forward in a direction, with focus. So after this week of just seeing all of these different situations that have unfolded around us that have been so heavy, it kind of culminated yesterday with this conversation with our daughter, and it was not pretty at all. It was not pretty. It ended very badly. And truthfully, the majority of our conversations end that way, and we continue to be open and available to her. We will continue to pray for her and her fiance and their future and their present. But we're kind of at this place of having to figure out, where are the boundaries?
And maybe you find yourself on one of the other ends of the spectrum. Maybe you find yourself at the end of the person that was wronged, and potentially you're still holding on to something, and you just can't figure out how to let it go. And I don't say that in a lightheartedness, because there are some things that we hold on to that we feel like we need to be in charge of the jurisdiction and the judicial part of the judgment. You know, we feel like, well, I was wrong, so I'm going to see this through until it's made right. And unfortunately, outside of an apology, when we're talking about history, there isn't a lot of ways many times to make it right. There's only a way to try and work through the feelings that exist because of it, the consequence of the bad action, and then kind of move forward from there to say, how can we mend this relationship and continue to grow and build now from where we are?
Right.
You know, there's a great analogy that exists in our freedom curriculum that basically says, you know, withholding unforgiveness from somebody is like lighting yourself on fire and then expecting the other person to die from smoke inhalation. You know, the only person that gets really hurt, or the only person that suffers when you choose to hang on to something and unforgive, is you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't even know they're standing in unforgiveness.
Right.
You know, and so it's a very hard place for you to be. And, you know, the Bible's very clear about it. You know, the disciples, I think, were even somewhat confused as to how much, because they were working in the legalistic version, you know, of what the Jewish law said of how many times should I forgive. And so if you look in Matthew 18:22, it says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? And then Jesus answers, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven, which is a bunch, you know,
right.
and that's an arbitrary number, and I get that. But Jesus is pointing out, it's like, no, it's not, this isn't got a quantity on it.
Right.
You know, if I myself am going to do what I'm about to do and put my own life on the line for you, for the things and the mistakes that you don't even know you've made yet. And I'm going to do that unconditionally, and my grace is going to have no expiration and no end on it. Why would I give you a numerical value at which I expect you to live by and say, well, when they right. reach this threshold, you don't have to pass forgiveness anymore because it's cool.
I think that's all an important point, but I also think that it's important to have kind of, so we know that there's a side of unforgiveness and there's a side of forgiveness and wanting to reconcile and move forward. But what are the practical ways to work through that? So we can talk about the problems. We can talk about the issues. We can relate to people, because I'm sure those listening can evaluate their relationships and see the uneven balance of the off balance relationships. And maybe you're giving and not receiving, or maybe you've got friendships or family members that you are more of, I'm the one that reaches out. I'm the one that tries to have that relationship. And maybe you're not. Maybe it's somebody else that's reaching out to you. But what are the practical ways that you can work through these situations? Because nowhere does it say that every relationship has to be reconciled when there has been trauma and hardships and separation.
No, you're absolutely right. Sometimes the things that happened are at a point to where it needs, it doesn't mean that you didn't give forgiveness. It doesn't mean that right. The situation isn't set, but it does sometimes mean that this is not going to be healthy for me.
Right.
Or healthy for you. I mean, I think I can think of a lot of very vivid examples of travesties that happened in this world where you may very well not want to need to have a relationship with that offender.
Right.
It would be completely unheard of to think of that. Now, that doesn't mean that God isn't still asking you to express or give that forgiveness.
Right.
And sometimes that's not even at the bitter end of that accused hearing it. Forgiveness is an internal thing.
Absolutely.
That you are, forgiveness is really, if you really think about it, it's you releasing the responsibility for that problem to God. At right. the end of the day, forgiveness is you saying, God, I can't bear the weight of this burden anymore. I can't take this hurt anymore. I can't swing this gavel any harder because I'm not going to be able to right. fix it. Can you please, I forgive them, I release them from it, God, can you please come in and fill this void that has been made? And at the end of the day, that's, when you think about forgiveness from the point of it's your submission to God in the problem, it really becomes nothing to do with the other person.
Right.
It's everything to do with your perspective.
But, and you're absolutely correct. It's a release, and it's a command that God tells us that we are to forgive. It's an intentional choice. It's not a feeling, because if we were to wait on our feelings, it would never happen. Point and example here is your affair was with someone who was very close to me. She was someone that I considered my best friend. It was a very fast and very quick relationship, friendship, as far as us connecting. And I was heartbroken when all of that came out of the woodworks. And despite all of that, once some time and the anger kind of receded, I tried to reconcile that relationship. I sit here and I can see us walking around the park here, talking and trying to connect. And it was after a few meetings that I realized that I had forgiven her, but she hadn't forgiven herself. And I don't know that we were ever going to be able to pursue. It was unhealthy. I was trying to reconcile something that, and I now know God did not mean for it to be reconciled. It was just not going to be healthy at all. And as I've grown in Christ since then, I've seen that reconciliation was not ever going to happen. But my heart was there, and I did try. I did try. Why? I look back and I still don't know, but I tried. When it comes to Kylie and being on the other side, it's like you're constantly up for trial. You're constantly being placed in front of the worldly judge who's going to place you on trial for all of the things that you've acknowledged, you've recognized, you've stopped doing. It's like you're constantly on alert because it just never changes. It never stops. It's all of the things that went on for years and years and years and years are just constantly, you're being reminded of them over and over and over and over. And I think that's what Satan wants to do. It's God's forgiven me and God has brought me through, and my heart has been changed. My mind has been changed. Am I still in the process of being sanctified? Always. We're always going to be growing. But I don't know that in this specific situation, in this stance, just because it's my daughter, I don't deserve to get this treatment every single time we have a conversation. And it's, we're at this point of, okay, now we've got to figure out how to handle this. We have to figure out how to healthily move forward to not. So I was listening to a sermon this morning while we were at the gym, and it was the process of renewing your mind. And one of the examples was, you know, some relationships, who you surround yourself with, if you are being affected by those people, if they're not building you up, if they're not sharpening you, if you are not able to lead in this particular season because the people that you are surrounding yourself with, just maybe they're not listening, maybe they're not in a season to grow, maybe it's just not where they're at. Sometimes you have to pause relationships and step away. You have to isolate yourself. The exact words were isolate yourself from that relationship for whatever time needs to be. While I don't know what that time is. I don't know that there's a specific time frame that says, okay, 6 months, 6 years, whatever. But the unhealthy, this is not healthy for either side. I think it's important to note that for our daughter, it is not healthy for her to continue emotionally and mentally putting herself through this trauma if talking to me incites this kind of outburst in which she can't control her thoughts and her memories, then from things that happened 20 years ago, then she's got to step away to figure out how to heal, because I can't do that for her. I can't fix it.
Nope, absolutely not. As I was kind of looking through some of the biblical backgrounds of all of these principles of unforgiveness and grace, mercy, healing, etc. Another verse that really stood out was in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, and it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all other types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God Christ has forgiven you." And I think that lays a very clear example of kind of the spiritual order of how to tackle this topic. First and foremost, you have to begin to purge yourself of the poison that's in, the anger, the bitterness, the rage, the bad thoughts that you have against the action, the offender, etc. You've got to remove that, because if you're trying to operate in grace and forgiveness when you still have all of that junk in there, you're probably never going to get to the point of genuinely letting somebody out in a graceful way. But when you can re-harness or reshape your mind in that particular relationship, even though it may be from afar, to say, I choose kindness now. I choose to be the bigger, better person. I choose to be the same attitude that Jesus gives towards me. It's the first step. And then beyond that, at the very end, it's just so simple. Just be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know, in the world we live in, like, it's how much farther could we go if that was just take spirituality out of it, take religion out of it for a moment. If we operated on nothing more than just a humanistic principle of be kind, tender-hearted, remove harsh words, just be good to people. Like, I'm not saying that's your salvation. That's not what I'm propagating here. But what I'm saying is that we would have relationships that I think would be a whole lot more healthy. But instead, we all stow it up. You know, we get behind our keyboards and we fire things off, or we
we take undue offense because we caught a post the wrong way, or we didn't get invited into something, so we make up a story in our mind as to why maybe we weren't involved in something or a group of people. And at the end of the day, we are our own worst enemy because we're allowing these feelings to dictate our actions instead of making deliberate choices in action that are now going to dictate the feelings that begin to follow.
Absolutely.
And it's such a different way to act, and it's not normal. It's not, when I say it's normal, it's not natural. It's not natural to make directed decisions against your gut, your feeling. And I don't mean that in scenarios where you're in an emergency. Sometimes you got to trust your gut to stay safe. But what I'm saying is sometimes when everything about you is like, this person at the cash register just ticked me off, my server, my waiter, how dare they?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to say, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I'm going to let this one go, not because I'm a bigger, better person.
Right.
I'll let this one go because I don't have the whole story on the other side.
Right.
I'm just going to choose kindness because I can.
Right.
And make that deliberate action and then watch your feelings begin to follow that, because it's going to change everything thereafter.
I think it goes deeper. It goes deep when you have relationships that are hurting from years ago. We can be kind, but if there is unresolved hurt in a person that goes back, for instance, you know, for our daughter, this hurt goes back to when she was 6, 7, 8 years old. I mean, we're talking 17, 18 years worth of trauma that we're going back to. And because I think the way our minds work, we overthink things and things become way bigger in our heads than they ever were in that moment. So it's not that we're not just facing traumas that happened 17, 18 years. We're also facing the mental stories and perceptions that have now been amplified over all of these years to just be something more than they even are. So we're not, it's so exaggerated now. And I say that not in a mean way or a untruthful way. I think there are pieces of truth in everything that she has addressed, in the sense that her raising was hard and there were some tough decisions, and she was a tough child. It was tough. It was tough for all parties, but now we're dealing with an over-exemplified version of what she thinks happened 18 years ago. And none of us can go back and change any of it. So it's like we're fighting these mental demons and these mental spirits that are just hanging over this situation. And nothing positive is coming from it. Nothing positive is coming from, there's no movement. There's no movement forward. So we're dealing with a lot of depth that we can go through scripture. We can talk about forgiveness with her. We can do all of these things. We can try to encourage our family. We can try to do all of the right things. But at the end of the day, this is well beyond what we can do as mom and dad. I think that so many people have relationships in their life that they feel like have to be there because, oh, it's my parents, or, oh, it's my kids, or, oh, it's my siblings, or, oh, it's my fill in the blank of whoever it is that is close to you. And I think there's this unrealistic expectation that because it's your child and because you did something that they feel like is wrong, you are required to endure. Like, you deserve this. You deserve the verbal lashing. You deserve the verbal disrespect. You deserve all of this because you were a horrible person to me.
And let's take that a little step further, because another side of this that we haven't quite torn off
in the storyline yet is the repercussions of how these types of unhealthy conversations end. So in our very specific timeline right now, and I'll let you share more. I'll just kind of open the door for you. But we depart from a conversation, leave it unresolved, and we're just trying to mentally process how we got backwards so far in time again. And unintentionally, you got stuck in that.
Yes.
You now absorbed almost everything that you had forgiven yourself for, and almost everything that you know God had forgiven you for, things that at one point she even said, I have forgiven you for, things we've asked for continuously for an apology, you know, but it all went backwards for you. So the unintended outcome here was it sunk you into a very deep N-word depression, which now had an impact on everybody around you. And, right. and you know, it's been a kind of a trying 12 hours of, you know, I'm looking at you from the outside. I can see what's happening. I can see the weight just piling on your shoulders.
Right.
And it didn't really matter how much I was there to see it. I wasn't able to crack that shell because you now were in a mental spin of guilt and shame.
And my natural reaction and my default response to any emotion is anger. It's so I instantly get angry. I instantly get angry at the situation. I get angry at the people around me. And then I get angry with you. I get angry with people that I feel like are very much involved and continue to be involved and don't respect us and do not contribute healthily to the situation at all. And it spirals. It does. It spirals. So I went to bed angry.
Yep. And that transfer to 4:30 wake up for the gym is not usually the greatest way to start a morning when you went to bed not so happy either.
But in my defense, in my growth, I continued to repeat to myself, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So I spent the morning silent.
How'd that work? I know how it worked, but
I didn't say anything I you regretted.
Sure didn't. You sure didn't.
And that was I didn't want to say anything that I was going to be even more mad at myself for later. So we get to the gym and I work out and I happen to choose the one treadmill in Planet Fitness that was clearly not calibrated correctly. And I
front row far left for those needing to know where the special one is at.
Yes. If you need to get, if you need to get a boosted sense of workout, get the front left closest to the windows treadmill because the calorie
spoiler
output
alert.
is off the charts.
It doubles.
It's off the charts. So
you're gonna feel real good.
According to that treadmill, I burned 500 calories in 30 minutes, and there was no way I burned 500 calories in 30 minutes. But it was pretty funny to watch it continue to move so rapidly as I'm watching you running, and yours is barely moving. And I'm just slightly jogging-ish, and it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm like, whoa, this is not right. This is not right at all. So anyways, that was kind of the icebreaker this morning. But it's still, I mean, we left. We had a few words with each other, came home, got in the word because we've really been doing great about coming home and I think we may have catnapped a little bit and did some more reading in the Word and just some really cool things that God is doing in our life and bringing us into a season that is very new and intimate for us. Like I really enjoy our conversations and our time in the Word in the mornings. I don't like getting up at 4:30 and yes, I'm kind of salty about that, but I work through it. But it still took a little while for me because even in the moment of reading the word and you're like, you're off, what's going on? I still couldn't find the words. So it took a little bit before I started opening up and just being real to say, my default response is anger. My default response to all of these things that are going on are anger. I know that I am loved. I know that I am forgiven. I know that I have turned from those ways. I've repented from that person I was. I've asked God to forgive me. I have asked our daughter to forgive me. I'm not that person anymore, but it's still, Satan wants to use my past to continually remind me to get me off track, because we have made so many spiritual advancements, because we have grown in our relationships with God. And not only are you and I growing, but we are listening to God and discerning His voice to lead us into outward places of ministry to reach others and to relate to others. And Satan wants nothing more than to halt us. And what better way than to cause division and to cause doubt and to cause to try to bring up these shameful moments. And so there's so much to process in this whole big picture of this week. And I say this week, it's been Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's been 3 days of
junk,
but there's been some really great stuff that's happened in there too. And that's the part that it's like, we've watched God moving in those days. And
go ahead. But yeah, no, just, I was going to bring one more verse to kind of to the forefront to kind of rationalize what it is that you're saying in a positive way, and take some of the power away from where Satan plays in our mind. And this comes out of Micah 7:19. It says, God forgives sins so completely that they are like something thrown into the ocean depths and irretrievable.
Oh, that's
irretrievable.
Good.
Like it's gone. You know, you hear the other verse that says, as far as east from the west, you know, there's a lot of boundaries that we can see, but this one in this particular version, irretrievable.
Right.
It's not coming back.
Right.
You ask for the forgiveness, it's done. It's gone. Right. And Satan really just, he wants to trip you into this idea that somehow you have to relive it. You have to.
And I think that's the thing. I think we can relate to so many people who have relationships within their close-knit groups that they feel like they have to continue to relive it because they made a mistake. And as I'm sitting here thinking about it, it's like I'm operating on a spiritual road. Like I just go back to this conversation with our daughter last night, and I was trying so hard to spiritually get on the same page with her. Like, how do we move forward? What are your expectations? So communication is key, right? We've got to communicate. But when you're unequally yoked in the sense that she's not spiritually at that place of being able to even rationalize and understand what I'm saying. It's, I'm just mad, so I'm going to lash out. There's no reconciliation there. There's none at all. And I think,
but we see that carried out in the death and resurrection story. We see a bounty of people in the, and I'm using air quotes, the religious community of Jesus' time. They were just mad. They didn't have any justification to be mad at this man. They just were, because they saw somebody that was doing the right thing and walking the right path, to the extent that this anger led to his ultimate death.
Right.
And, you know, people still have that same thought process, that same thing. And we know that Satan is the driving force behind that. It's like, listen, I'm just going to be mad right now because I feel like it's wrong.
And I can see the anger in her and in that sense of resentment of, why couldn't you have been these people raising me? Why couldn't you have been this way when you...
And it's literally the same question that we already ask ourselves.
Right.
You don't have to ask it for us, because I promise you, for every one time you wish we were the people to raise you, we've said it 1,000 times that, gosh, I wish I was better. I wish I would have done something different. I wish, I wish, I wish.
And I wish, I pray for the day that she surrenders her heart and herself to God, so that she can work through the past and the trauma and the history that she is still,
because we're
still
losing time. Like,
we are losing
presently
time.
We're still losing relationship in the now. Like, we're not even getting to do the now well, because we're still looking so far in the past and can't move it. And
but in a bigger spiritual sense, she's losing time to grow her testimony. Like, God's empowered her. God put her in the place that he put her because she was going to have a testimony. So imagine the lives that could be changed through her if she forgave herself, and if she would forgive others around her, and if she would make the change in the now. How many people could be effective in kingdom work if she recognized the testimony that she has? Now, granted, when I look back at her childhood, I don't see it as I get memories that pop up constantly, and it's the beautiful, beautiful pictures of dances and history. And I'm glad that I have those memories. I wish she remembered those. I wish that she had those positive memories. And again, in that sermon, Rewiring Your Mind, it was also talked about that if you set out every day to see the bad stuff, you're going to see the bad stuff. But if you set out every day to see the good things, to say, I, the sun is shining today. Yes, it might be cold, but the sun is shining today, and it's not gloomy and it's not overcast. And I'm thankful to be able to go to work today to provide for my family, because there's so many people that aren't able to. Or it's all about how you're framing the way you see your life. If you see it as negative, if you wake up every day with the mental state of, my family sucks, my parents were horrible to me, they need to acknowledge, I think that was her words, you need to acknowledge how crappy my life was, in much more vulgar terms. Okay, so that's all you're going to see. That's all you're going to see. So we are tasked with the job of changing how we look at situations. So we can't do that for her. We can't do these things to fix it. But it does not mean that we have to continue to be available to her in a way that allows this to constantly be the cycle.
Right.
And I think that's the important part to relay as we're sharing this part of our between our Sundays, is relationships can be tricky. And I think we put a lot of pressure, especially us moms, if we have prodigal children, if we have children that have strayed away, that we are not tasked with bearing all of these burdens. Our children have to go through these processes themselves, and it's extremely painful to watch. But we don't have to be in an active relationship that is continuing to be toxic.
And the scriptures are very clear. Jesus' own words, you know, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and the burden is light. Like, you don't have to continue to carry this stuff. Even if you never find the other person or the justification on the other end, if you continue to carry it, whether it's you accepting or feeling like you need to ride this guilt and shame inside for something you did, or whether it's you holding somebody else to the fire for something they did to you, both are the same weight. Both are going to have the same outcome, and that's going to weigh you down.
Right.
And Jesus said, listen,
You don't have to.
Right.
You don't have, let me have it. Let me do this.
And then once both parties are at that point where they have surrendered it to God and they have worked through that within themselves, if reconciliation is part of the plan, then it'll happen in a natural way, and it'll happen in a healthy way that is full of love and authenticity and transparency. So reconciliation is possible when both parties are on that same page of expectation and of spiritual growth and maturity. So,
well, I think we've kind of come to the end of our normal time block. I know this has been a very heavy weight for you, and I can't think of anybody better to close us out with prayer than you. So do you mind just praying for our family, praying for those that are listening? Because I'm sure somebody's having the same things that they're dealing with.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father God, I come to you today in just a heart of thankfulness, a heart of thankfulness for the forgiveness and the mercy and grace that you provide for just being who you are, God. I pray for our family. I pray for relationships within our family, God. I pray for our daughter. I pray for her mental health. I pray for her stability. I pray for her spiritual health, God, and that you just grow and light a fire in her that makes her want to seek you out more, God. I pray for the relationship between her and us, God, that I pray forgiveness. I pray that she finds a way to lay down the hurts and the actions and the decisions that took place so many years ago, God. I pray that she just surrenders that all to you. And God, if it doesn't mean that if it means that there is division in our family and that reconciliation is not possible, God, I still pray for peace and joy to just overcome her, God, and her family and her future, God. I pray for just an unexplainable blanket of peace to surround her and her fiance and growth for them spiritually, God. I also pray for anyone listening today, if there are relationships that they are struggling with, if there are relationships, whether it's family, friends, coworkers, loved ones, God, that you help provide direction and understanding, clarity in how to deal with those relationships, God. Whether it's someone who is struggling to forgive an abuser, or if it's the abused that is wanting to reconcile and is meeting that friction and is meeting that tension, God, I pray just for a peace and an understanding in how to deal with that situation, God. Reconciliation has to be on both sides, God. And I just pray that for anyone who is pushing hard for relationships to continue and they are not of you, God, I just pray for that to be revealed in their lives, God, that we are not required to continue being tackled by Satan's attempts, God. We rebuke his attempts at division, at shame, and at bringing up our paths to take us off your path, God. I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the truth that lies in your word, God. I thank you for just this opportunity, for this podcast, and this ability to connect and relate to people, God. I pray you bless this time, our words, and everything that we talked about, and every listener today, God, just bless them. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for being with us again. It's been an amazing Friday. And we hope that so much of this comes for so many of you guys. Until the next time.
Bye.
See ya.